Our scripture comes from two sources this morning, from Psalm 27 and from Matthew chapter 4. From the Psalms we read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? For God will hide me in a shelter in the day of trouble, and will conceal me under the cover of a tent. God will set me on a high rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in the tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer. Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God, my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And from Matthew. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left their father and they followed. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people." These are our sacred stories. Our second scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending the nets. And Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people." These are our sacred stories. Just before this morning's lection from Matthew, Jesus is baptized. He's named as beloved, and then, still wet with ritual waters, he goes to the wilderness where he is tempted. The final temptation is to own all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus refuses. And then he learns that John, the one who baptized him, his cousin, that John has been arrested, and Jesus flees. The NRSV says that Jesus withdrew to Galilee, but the Greek word here connotes fleeing. This is the same word that's used to describe Joseph, Mary, and Jesus fleeing to Egypt because of Herod. And later to say, when Jesus' life is threatened later, Jesus flees from Judea to Galilee because of Archelaus, one of Herod's sons. The same term in chapter 14 describes Jesus moving into the wilderness after learning that John has been beheaded. In each instance, Jesus flees because of the threat of imperial violence. Jesus flees to Galilee. John has been imprisoned by Herod Antipas for criticizing his immoral life. Sources outside of the canon, such as Josephus, suggest that John also challenged Herod's oppressive economic practices, practices that resulted in poverty, oppression, and death. The empire did everything in its capacity to eliminate criticism, and so John is arrested. And Jesus, having already aligned himself with John's teaching, Jesus understands the danger, and he flees to Galilee. Only Galilee isn't safe either. The empire rules there too. And so Jesus turns his attention to an alternative kingdom. He takes up John's exact words, and he shouts, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The gospel writer of Matthew makes Jesus' focus on an alternative kingdom even more clear with the reference to Isaiah 9. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. Writing in the context of the oppressive Assyrian occupation, Isaiah assures the people that a new kingdom is coming, a kingdom of justice and righteousness. Like the Assyrian Empire of old, the Roman Empire has been subjecting people to gloom and death for generations. New Testament scholar Raj Nadella notes, "The empire made gloom and death integral aspects of the society and tried to normalize them." In Matthew's appropriation of Isaiah's prophecy, the writer suggests that Jesus will lead the people from night to day and destroy the power of death that Rome came to embody. He will expose the destructive ethos of the Roman Empire and demonstrate that gloom and death need not be accepted as normal. This is no small task or mere sloganeering. The devil tried to co-opt him. The empire tried to threaten him, but nothing seemed to deter him. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," Jesus cries. There is another kingdom, a kingdom of peace and of sharing, of love and of justice. We must not accept despair and oppression as normal. And then from this cry, the scripture jumps directly to these words. "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers." John is in prison. The Roman Empire is everywhere. And Jesus must have seen in those brothers by the sea the possibility of connection, of community, of creating the kingdom he sought. "Follow me," he asks, as they throw their nets into the water. "Follow me." They're fishermen. embedded in the imperial economy. Rome asserted control over the land and sea, their production and the transportation and marketing of their yields with contracts and taxes. And Jesus disrupts these men's lives. He calls them to a different loyalty, a different way of life, invites them to a new community and gives them a new task. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. This is the brightness of the realm of God shining in the despair of Roman-ruled Galilee. Simon Peter and Andrew follow, and together with Jesus they come upon two other brothers, James and John, also fishermen. And Jesus calls to them, and they leave their nets and their father, and they follow. And others will join them. Some of their names we know, Bartholomew and Philip, Thomas, and others whose names have been erased by time or the patriarchy, but not erased entirely. Matthew 27 notes, many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. The mother of the sons of Zebedee was a follower of Jesus. The brothers left their nets and their father, but their mother came with them, joining them as one of Jesus's disciples. Their family becomes part of a new family, joining with others and living into the reign of God. The scripture continues, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Together, Jesus and the disciples bring good news, bring an alternative to the imperial violence that surrounds them, bring an alternative to normalized abuse and oppression. Together, Jesus and the disciples heal and cure the injured and the ill. Some 70 to 90% of the people in Rome's empire experienced varying degrees of poverty, from the very poorest to those who temporarily fell below subsistence levels. Understandings of hygiene were limited, social stresses were high, water quality poor. Food insecurity was rife with low quality and limited quantities, and such factors resulted in widespread diseases associated with poor nutrition and lack of immunity. But to be sick and poor was death-bringing in a world that required physical labor for survival. Jesus's healings are more than kindnesses. They are acts that repair imperial damage and enact the realm of God in restoring people's lives. Jesus learns that John has been arrested by the empire and he flees, but he soon realizes that he cannot escape the reach of the empire, and so he confronts it. He confronts it with his teachings about an alternative kingdom, and he confronts it by showing people that they do not have to settle for despair and abuse. And he confronts it by actively working against the empire's oppression, by healing the sick. And he does none of this alone. Jesus gathers disciples, and together in community, together, they work for change. On this Communion Sunday, we consider the devastation of our empires, the gloom and death and devastation, the abuse of people and the land, and we too are tempted to flee in body or in apathy. But my friends, we are needed. Desperately needed right here and right now. Needed to fight for clean water. needed to call for justice and to highlight injustice, needed to promote healing and health, to live into our loyalty to a realm of peace and love. We are not alone. Communion reminds us of our connections to each other and to the divine. And so as you come this day to this table, remember that you are not alone. This communion table is always open. You, exactly you, you are welcome to come and tear bread and dip it in wine or water. Come and eat. Come and drink. In our shared ritual and our shared work, we take up the cause. We see the kingdom of heaven has come near. Amen.